Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Don't forget, you can watch, listen, and interact with the brand new twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago channel. It's a lot to remember. So
you may see me fall out. I went into Carmen's office, Carmen, the good kid's office, and I stole some sort of like health bar.
Do you trust that? Well, whose desk was it on?
I was in a box. It was in Carmen's. Carmen's.
Okay.
I have a mild allergic reaction to certain things that I eat. It makes me feel weird. I'm having one of those. Fall below the desk, know that I will get back up at some point.
Let's go to a call or something. We'll figure it out.
It makes my body, have you ever had an MSG attack? Not a Madison Square Garden attack.
The ingredient in food, everyone says no MSG.
Yeah, you don't want that. Some people have, bad responses to it. Makes you feel all weird.
So what are you, shaky right now?
It gets in my, I'm very in tune to my body. My body's a temple. So, if I eat something where I can feel that my body is just reacting weird to it. So I'm just warning you that if I go below deck, so to speak, and I fall out here, just keep talking.
Below deck?
Yeah.
Deck. Oh! on Twitch. Did you just see that on Twitch?
Let me look. I got it up here.
I'm talking. I'm like, oh, man!
Did you just run into the chair, too?
That's the fun thing about Twitch is you listen to the show like you normally do on radio, but all of our local shows you can watch. So when Gene Greco's in studio, Waddle just hit his elbow, I believe. Did you hit your elbow?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
So he injured himself after having an allergic reaction from one of Carmen's bars, the health bars that he took from the office.
It was not a good... every now and again, chocolate gets me. I have a sensitivity
to
chocolate.
Don't eat chocolate.
I know, but then there's other times when it's so good, by the way, but it doesn't affect me. But today's a day where chocolate affected me.
Okay. So twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. I just checked in with the Twitch people, and they wanted to know where they can find the top 20 Cubs list. For just a recap, it's on the ESPN Chicago Instagram page. So there's a picture every day, Tuesday and Thursday, when we feature that number. Like today, the Rizzo recap will be on there. And then you can just scroll back to the other posts for 11 and 12 and 13 and everything like that, all the way down to 20. So check it out. It's ESPN. What's this underbar? Is it on Instagram? Is it called Underbar Abdallah? Because I heard our promo running, and I heard them call it an underbar Chicago.
I've never heard that.
I've always heard it called underscore. ESPN underscore Chicago. Are they the same thing, underbar and underscore? Hello?
I can't answer because I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not tech support. You don't call me for tech support.
We have a promo running on the station that has stumped me with underbar. And I'm like, is this a case of me not being caught up with the lingo, or is this a case of someone getting it wrong on the promo?
That might be an email you may want to fire off there, Sylvie.
Yeah. Underbar. I'm like, is it called an underbar?
I think it's an oversensitive response to something, right? That'd be a good way to describe it.
I have no idea.
Oh, don't run now. Don't be afraid that someone's going to yell at you, Abdallah. I see you back there, cowering.
Check out the ESPN Chicago Instagram page at ESPN Underbar Chicago. So, and I'm like, underbar, wow. Yeah, I've always called it underscore. So it confused. I've been confused. I've been meaning to ask.
I'm just glad I don't ever have to say
Do you want to play while we're on this offbeat subject? Do you want to play Cap Out of Context?
Yeah, let's do that.
So this was started by Chris Black when he was on the show, and now it's, of course...
Was it barred after a while? Cap Out of Context
it was... It was underbarred.
It was underbarred.
Underbarred,
okay.
No, it hasn't been. I think this is the best where we have to guess. Like, for people who haven't heard, We play you audio, and you have to figure out what they were talking about or what they were making sounds about and what that's supposed to be.
Okay.
So, and if you ever hear anything, tweet to us, 7 to 10 every day. It's Cap and Jay Hood, and we can play the game Cap out of context. So can anyone, we should offer this up. There's no prize, but can anybody call at 312-332-3776? Chris, set this up to guess. I believe it was what, I heard this live, what Hoodie was doing, right?
Yeah. You'll hear both voices. But yes, Jonathan is definitely giving you a little extra here.
Excuse me? Well, and it doesn't give it away on what they're talking about. You've just taken it out of context, right?
Okay. Here's what Hood was doing.
You're unbelievable.
It's gargling.
That was on the air, yeah, this morning.
But what was that in reference to? Like, it scared me, that sound effect.
Mitch Trubisky's quarterback play has left a bad taste in his mouth, so he's gargling.
I thought you were going to say something else.
It is not. It had nothing to do with Mitch Trubisky. Well, it's sort of
his play.
I guess.
What I said. Mallard
brought up Trubisky to this comment.
You're unbelievable.
Was he imitating Cap? What was he doing?
312-332-3776. If you heard it this morning and can educate Waddle, Cap out of context. In this case, it's Hoodie out of
You're
context.
You're unbelievable.
I thought my guess
really
was a
disturbing.
Good one. I thought it was a good one. The quarterback play in this town has left a bad taste in Jonathan's mouth. So what he decided to do was to take a shot of mouthwash and gargle.
You're unbelievable.
I heard that this morning. I was actually in the bathroom when I was hearing that. But about to gargle, but it wasn't, yes.
All right,
wasn't.
Let's go to Dan on the south side.
All right, there you go. Danny.
Hey, what's up, guys? The answer is teaching Rich Hill how to swim.
There you go. They were
A.K.A. Dick Mountain.
You're unbelievable.
They were having a conversation,
what?
Waddle, about...
What?
People who they would teach how to swim if they could teach someone who didn't know how to swim to swim, who it would be. And that was the sound effect of someone drowning, I believe.
I just saw a video of Taco Falls being taught to swim down in.
There you go.
Okay.
Here's the dots. The full audio.
Dick Mountain. Dick Mountain, maybe I would teach him how to swim, but definitely you'd be a twin.
What is the ceiling? What is the floor for our Chicago Bears?
That is an exactly. Take that. 2 minutes.
Take what?
You're unbelievable.
It's a good game, isn't it?
It is.
I like Cap out of context.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, it was still going.
why were they going to teach Rich Hill how to swim?
No.
Because
Taco
of the Taco Falls.
Right. Learning how to swim.
Gotcha.
So then they went around the room and they said,
pick one
Tom
person.
Waddle, who would you like to teach how to
if
swim?
They couldn't
if they
swim,
were a celebrity.
You could teach anybody. Like Danny said, Kim Kardashian.
His justification was creepy. Did you hear that, Sylvie?
It was odd.
He was like, I want to hold her.
I'm not, you know what? I'm not going anywhere.
Shout
close
out
to
Danny.
That. Yeah.
I haven't talked to him in a minute. But.
Well, he's probably because he's not coming back for a couple of days. Who came up with Rich Hill? Who would say Rich Hill?
Well, I think he was on the brain because of the White Sox game yesterday.
Because the Sox won.
Yeah. And that, look, by the way, that was, they're down 4-0, and you're like, okay, this is the first game in a couple that Giolito didn't have it. And they're kicking the ball around. It was like just a circus. And you're like, all right, they're going to have one of these letdowns. And, Bleck, you said that it was a perfect litmus test, and you were worried about how they would show. I mean, could you not be more thrilled with the response that the White Sox gave you yesterday?
No, it was fantastic. And the fact that not only did you come back multiple times, but then you put it on them, right? Like, when you finally took the lead in the ninth, like, they were ready to do damage, and the Twins looked...
The White Sox of old would have packed that in right after they got down 4-0.
I get it. It's only one day, right? So who knows? Tonight they could go out.
Yeah, but all of these games feel like they have greater meaning because there's so few of them. And especially for a team like the White Sox that has entered into a new realm, a game like that is very defining for
them. And also, like, Giolito didn't have his best game yesterday.
Right.
And he struggled in the second. But then you see later in the game when Robert gets his home run and you see Giolito in the dugout screaming. It's like, Oh, this team's really pulling for each other. Like, this is working.
Yeah, and then look, they took advantage of an error. Teams are going to give you opportunities all the time. Like Waddle said about the 15 and 16 Cubs, the 18 Bears. The bounces are going to go your way. What are you going to do with it?
Yep.
What are you going to do with it?
You go back to any title for any team in any sport, and it's littered with good bounces.
Yes.
And that doesn't diminish the title. It's just every championship season is littered with good fortune. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and you got to and can I tell you one guy I've been wrong about too? Like again, like I don't think there's enough accountability when you make an opinion and you say when you get it wrong. I didn't think that the White Sox should bring back Abreu. I thought Vaughn was coming back, and I thought that really with all these young guys, do you really need Abreu? And like I thought it was a little overplayed about the meaning in the locker room. Not only has he been an important leader, but the dude is just raking.
Well, last year, didn't he drive in like 125?
He did. He did. I mean, he had a really good year, but you know, he could be up and down, and is it worth it when you have a bunch of first baseman designated hitters? And we've talked about this. Like, is there going to be room, and what are you going to do with Vaughn? What are you going to do with McCann? What are you going to do with all these guys? But right now, Abreu is not only important to the White Sox, but you can make a case for him being an MVP this year in the shortened season, can't you?
Yeah, I think so. At the moment, yeah.
He's on pace for like 60 home runs. Like if you project out in 35 games, he's got 12 dingers. I mean, he's on a dinger parade. He's on a dinger float right now, riding around different towns in Major League Baseball. Dropping dingers on people.
And when are you going to tell us about who you're playing tonight?
5:55. You just time spent listening, man.
All right. So the Cubs, you know how they play against the Pirates, and then the Sox are at it again.
Maybe there is
against the Twins.
Maybe there is some Cubs dinger dollars to accumulate tonight. Maybe.
You know, I was worried about something that David Ross would do tonight. He's already taken care of my worry.
Really?
And he rectified it. And I'll tell you what that is coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We just talked about the White Sox huge win against the Twins last night. They are in first place. And they're just continuing to gain confidence, this very, very young team. Cubs tonight are in Pittsburgh. And then Abdallah's got an interesting power ranking that I want him to bring up.
Yeah.
The Cubs just released their lineup. While I was worried about this, and Jesse and I were actually joking about it, like whether or not Chris Bryant would lead off again. He's back in the lineup. And what I was worried about is with the success of Ian Happ, that they were going to bring Chris Bryant back and lead him off again. And he has not only been unsuccessful there, he's just had a miserable year. And Ian Happ has done the opposite. Ian Happ continues to rake. And while Chris Bryant's been out, he's been filling the leadoff role. Is he a true leadoff hitter? I don't know. But it's working right now with him at top of the order. And I wanted to see them take the pressure off of Bryant, too. So not only because are these his last 20-some games in a Cubs uniform? Maybe. And I want them to be good. I want him to come back and mash. I want him to look like the guy he did in 15 and 16, like a lot of these White Sox players. When he came up, like Luis Robert, like Aloy, he was can't miss, and you had him racked up for 40 home runs a year. He was one of those guys who was going to carry you on his back each and every year, and he hasn't been that. And every guy that goes in the leadoff position for the Cubs, it seems like the burden has been too heavy.
You want the splits for Ian Happ batting first in this lineup?
Sure, give it to me.
53. And you want the stats?
Yeah, of course.
The 53 at-bats. He has 6 home runs and 10 driven in. He's hitting .283 from the leadoff spot with an on-base percentage of .406. He's slugging .698 for an OPS of 1.104, batting first for this team.
And oftentimes we would say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So with Hap giving you those numbers,
why would you ever get him out of there?
Right, right. And with Bryant coming back, I was nervous that, Ross would go back to Bryant in the leadoff spot. And Hap is leading off in center field. Chris Bryant is back in the two-hole at third base. Rizzo bats first. Baez is actually your cleanup hitter. Schwarber then, this way it's left, right, left, right. Schwarber bats fifth and left. Contreras moves down to the number six spot at catcher. Hayward is hitting seventh, but he's red hot. They've got Martinez in the lineup, so the pitcher they're facing is a lefty, I guess. And Kipnis bats ninth at second tonight.
I tell you what, Javi's season so far has been a big surprise to me. There was the game, I forget who it was against, where he hit the two home runs. Was it against the Reds? Whoever it was, he hit the two home runs.
And it was like, a blowout, right? Yes. Wasn't it another blowout again?
And also,
I think they're facing a righty tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the Pirates are throwing a righty. That's why I have my dinger dollars aligned.
Why are they batting Martinez then? Isn't he the lefty killer?
Well, because they didn't want to do everything in common sense fashion. They wanted to do something to piss you off.
Okay.
But Baez to me again is like, that game I thought was going to be the spark that just sent him in a better direction. But for the year, he's hitting .202 with an on-base percentage of .246. He has struck out 47 times this year.
Who will come out of it first, Bryant or Baez?
That's a really good question. I think Bryant's the better overall hitter, so I'll say Bryant.
Abdallah, I know who you're voting on.
No, I'm not. I'm voting for Bryant because Javi couldn't clean out a trash can right now. He's batting cleanup right now. Are you kidding me? What kind of...
What kind of stupid
lineup is this?
Did you guys hear how salty Abdallah was on the baseball show last night when I was questioning? I was telling him to support his guy, Javi. And he just got very angry last night.
Yeah, because Javi's trash right now. He needs to, hey, I don't know.
Listen,
what,
I support your right to be down on your favorite player.
Right, you still
same
love
way
him.
I'm down on the Reds because they stink this year. And everyone had all these great
below
expectations.
Below replacement level.
This is tough love right now.
Terrible.
Tough love.
Do you think Javi's pressing at all because of the deal?
Yes. Short season, you get down, it's harder to come back. You can't say, well, it's a marathon, I could just chill. You know, it will write itself that in a 60-game season, like, did you see Yelich is still terribly bad?
He's got some home runs, but he's still, I think he's batting below .200. You know who else is batting below .200 right now? Willie. Willie's batting .196 right now.
And they need, like, Wilson, Contreras, and Baez are so vital. So vital.
You've got, these are three of your best bats. Baez is batting .202 with an on-base of .250. Contreras is batting .196. His on base is .304, so he's got a much better on base percentage than batting average. And Bryant's hitting .177 with an on base percentage of .271.
Right,
like those are three guys. I mean, if I told you at this point in the season, where they're what have they played 34 games, but they're beyond the halfway point in the season, that those three guys would be where they are right now. And you guys as a team would be up three games in the Central and just basically with no competition. You'd have never believed it, would you?
Never believed it because of the way Hap and Hayward have hit. I think the only guy in the Cubs lineup who's doing what you expect him to do, whether it's on the good side or bad side, like there are guys who are surprising you because they're bad. There are guys who are surprising you who are really good. I think Schwarber is exactly who he is. What is he at, about .235 right now?
.228 with an on-base. His on-base is lower than usual, .333, but he's got 9 bombs and 19 driven in.
That's basically what he is, and he'll fluctuate between .220 and .240, .245.
Now, Rizzo's his batting average is down .235, but he's at .373 with his on-base percentage, which is about where he goes
every year,
.375.
But his average is lower. Like,
it is.
Half better than you thought. Bryant worse than you thought. Yes. Rizzo worse than you thought. Baez worse than you thought.
Jay Hayes had a very good start to the season.
Right. Contreras worse than you thought. Hayward better than you thought.
Yeah.
And
Nico Horner really hasn't done much either. I thought he was going to have more of an impact.
He's not, but if you watch him, I think they stressed this on the broadcast the other day. He's not overmatched. He hits the ball hard. He works the count. You like you hope that it's going to click for him, but it hasn't looked like a young and experienced player who's overmatched.
That's fair.
So power rankings, Abdallah, you brought this up in the pre-show fist fight. Cubs, Sox, and where they rank currently on ESPN.
Yeah, so ESPN put out their power rankings today. The number one team is, I don't think anybody would argue with the Dodgers being the number one team. In the power rankings right now, the Rays at 25-11 are number two. The Oakland A's at 22-12.
Both of those teams, like we live in the, some people, I'm a National League guy. You don't pay enough attention to teams like Oakland and Tampa and how good they are consistently.
That's the essence of not paying it. Yes.
You're right. You're right.
Absolutely.
That's Oakland the essence of regional
Tampa.
Baseball.
Yes, exactly. Right. That speaks to what Major League Baseball is. It is a regional sport.
And then the disrespect starts. If I was a Sox fan, the disrespect. Ooh, the disrespect that I'm feeling
worry
right
about
now
hobby.
As ESPN. ESPN continues to deny their 05 championship and places them not at number four. Coming at number four, the Cleveland Indians. Where are the Cleveland Indians right now? Not in first place. The Yankees at 19-14. Still in the top five. The number five team in power rankings. The Twins. The Twins who the Sox crushed last night at sixth. And then how about this? How about some Chicago on Chicago hate?
They did that on purpose.
The Cubs are number seven at 20-14. The Cubs, who we just went through all their batting woes and their struggling pitching and how they can't get anybody on the bullpen. Yeah. And then coming in at number eight, the Chicago White Sox at number eight. Behind a second and third place team in their own division and the Chicago Cubs.
It's a great point. And if I had a vote, I'd have the Sox ahead of the Cubs right now.
Me too. And I'm a Cubs fan.
I mean, power rankings vacillate. It's like a week-to-week thing.
The disrespect.
I would have the White Sox ahead of Cleveland.
I would,
maybe
too.
Not Minnesota. Like, Minnesota's on this really cold streak right now. We'll see.
They've lost six in a row.
Yeah. If they right themselves. You know, they've done, but getting rid of Clevinger and then the Sox having a better record, I would put the Sox ahead of them.
Yeah, I would too.
312-332-3776. So for the first time, Waddle, since 08, 2008, 12 years, we've got Baseball City USA.
Oh, I love it.
And I've got a topic later if, like, you're as into this season now after all the. We talked before the season started. Would you be as in? Like, do you want it as badly now that you're both teams are in first place? Are you still dreaming of a Red Line World Series that wouldn't use the red line? Because, A, you can't go, and, B, there'll be a playoff bubble. So we'll talk about that later. Waddle's World is coming up, and Jason Benetti will talk White Sox with us at 4. Don't forget, we've got Would You Rather today. Hashtag it WS. Would you rather? People say all the time they get the hashtag wrong. It's WS for Waddle and Sylvie. WS, would you rather? Send it to Black and Abdallah. We'll give away booze at 4:30.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports. Look at your robots in the air. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. Look at my head spin.
That's a great movie.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Still hoping for a sequel. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC.
Just what? Oh, ooh. I haven't heard chatter music in a while.
That made your nipples kind of feel strange, didn't it, Sylvie?
They always feel strange.
Dun, 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 dun. Just let it breathe for a second. So, Josita
Anderson. No. Let it breathe for a second.
You guys know we're like 2 weeks.
Whoa.
America! We're only like a week and a couple days from the start.
You cut diamonds with those.
It's what,
right?
9 days, right?
Yeah. Oh, baby.
I could slice bread right now.
Josina Anderson is reporting that the Saints are open to trading Alvin Kamara.
And that's because they don't have any money. They don't have any money to spend next year. They're out, like, what did they say? They're projected to be $30 million over the cap next year.
Well, hey, Abdullah, I have a question.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Don't the Bears need a running back?
Well, no. See, that's my point. Is I think
where's
that
Mark
the Saints,
in Batavia? We need to ask him.
I think that the Saints were on Instagram and Twitter today, and they saw that it's the 2-year anniversary of the Khalil Mack trade, and they're like, oh, let's see if we can get Pace again.
He couldn't even finish this statement. He wants to be us so badly.
Let's see if we can get him.
How many number ones do you think?
Oh, all of them.
How many number ones does it take to get?
Whatever's legal.
We finally get him back next year, so we might as well give him away. Right?
Remember, we get our number ones back next year.
For now,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they're going to need to draft a quarterback.
The ironic part about Alvin Kamara with the Bears is that was the pick they sent to San Francisco to trade up from 3 to 2. San Francisco traded it to New Orleans. Alvin Kamara pick was that third round pick or whatever it was to move up from 3 to 2.
But we had to have some Adam Shaheen early in the second round.
Traded back for Adam Shaheen. Someone corrected me on that recently.
Wasn't Kittle drafted that year too?
I think so.
That's the knock on Pace is that when he needed to draft a quarterback and a tight end, he took Trubisky and Shaheen.
Right, when he could have had, yes. Well, they could have had.
I'm going to come in there and wrestle you if you don't stop.
You could have Mahomes, Kamara, and Kittle.
You know what? Good night, everybody. Facts. I don't feel like doing the rest of the show. I know they're facts, but 12 days out from the start of the season, and you hit me with that?
And you know the tweet I hate the most is the Sylvie hindsight 2020. Do the people
tweet you in soft voice?
That's not how Cap talks.
Yeah, no. Hindsight's 2020, Sylvie.
No, my favorite to see your favorite, and I raise you my favorite, that neither of those two quarterbacks would be doing what they're doing in their teams here.
That's a good one, too.
If you look at the rankings going into the draft, Shaheen was the highest ranked tight end.
It drives me crazy when people say that.
Every evaluation of a general manager is hindsight. It's so dumb that anyone tweets that. Every draft that you grade based 3 years out is based on hindsight.
Yes.
Every trade that you make, whether it's Quintana for Aloy and Cease, it's based on hindsight. Or whether it's you get Arrieta and Pedro Strop back. And they do what they do. That's how those men are graded.
It makes my blood boil. Like the people that scream at me, well, Mahomes and Watson wouldn't be doing with this Bears offense what they're doing in their own. That doesn't matter.
Boys, we have some conflicting sources. Charles Robinson is saying on the Alvin Kamara situation, he's told that the team is comfortable making him a top 5 paid running back, which is around $12 million per year, but Kamara wants that Christian McCaffrey money, which is $16 million.
But they don't have the money.
Yeah, they don't have any money. They got negative money.
Yes.
They're like $25 million over the cap next year.
It's like, I think the Cubs own them. I don't think there's any money.
There's no money.
The Bensons have no more money.
I do have some good NFL news.
Yeah, but they know they trade. You pay the quarterback and you pay Michael Thomas because he's so outstanding. And you find another running back if that were to happen. You'll find another Alvin Kamara. I know he's great.
It's hard, but yes, that's the path you choose.
Where was he found to begin with?
Third round, right?
Yeah. So
Tennessee? He played at Tennessee? UT? Tennessee? Nobody wants to say. The NFL and the NFLPA have said that there's been a total of 10 new positives in the latest round of COVID-19 testing. Testing took place from August 21st through the 29th. Of the 2,747 players tested, there were 4 new confirmed positives. That's good news. Of the 5,992 personnel tested, there were 6 new positives. So a total of 10 new positives out of all of the people that were tested. And that's a number of tests, too. The number of people tested was about 8,000, but they're tested how many times over the course of the week? I think it was over 50,000 tests. So, yes, four players total. Of the nearly 2,800 players tested, only four tested positive. So that is good news. Joe Mixon and the Bengals have agreed to a four-year contract extension. College football news, 10 University of Central Florida players have opted out over the coronavirus concerns, including two of their projected starters. President Trump has spoken with Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren about the conference having a football season. President told reporters that the call with the commissioner was, quote, very productive. In an earlier tweet today, the president indicated the Big Ten's plans to return were at the, quote, one-yard line. I said to these guys, is that like first and goal or is that you got 99 yards to get to the end zone? Which one-yard line are we on?
Probably the one-yard line.
We don't know which one. Right.
That's a good
Big
point.
Ten last month decided to postpone its fall football season. A league source told ESPN's Adam Rittenberg after Trump's comments that, quote, nothing has changed, nothing. We have to get all the medical questions answered before we can even bring back a plan to the president for approval. Sources told ESPN that several plans for return to play are being considered by the Big Ten's return to play task force with the potential earliest start in late November or early January or later next spring. I turned my nose up at all three of those options. That's just me.
None of them work for you.
No. Like from logistical standpoint. Like I'm not making a medical evaluation here. I'm just saying to you, what are you doing bringing back games at the end of November? Are you just, I mean, that, like, I will say this, though. Like, I am pissed off at the hypocrisy that exists about, like, the players can't play, but all the students are allowed on campus. Like, that's a money grab. So don't tell me about health and safety, right? So you can't sit here and tell me, well, we got to make sure we take care of our student athletes. We want to make sure that their health and their safety is taken care of. But yet you let 8,000 just on average undergrads back into their dorm rooms? Like, isn't that a conflicting aren't those conflicting decisions, guys, or am I on an island here?
No, yeah, absolutely. It's good enough to be on campus and get your tuition, you know, and all that.
Right.
But
so if I got a dorm room filled pretty much to capacity and kids are going to class, even if it's a hybrid type of a learning situation where not everyone's in school. But how is that? How are the football players? You're worried about their health and safety, but the students are different. And don't give me the contact and football stuff. If you're negative, you test negative, and the guy across from you test negative.
You can't get it. Right.
You can spit all over each other in practice.
Yeah.
Snot, spit, whatever it is, and you're not going to catch it because neither one of you has the virus. I don't know.
So far, so good with a lot of the different stuff. I told you a while ago that I'd be happy with two out of the three sports having success. So far, baseball, hockey, and basketball are still going.
Mm. Do you see this? Soccer, Messi's dad, he's demanding that Barcelona release his son from the team for free.
We've all had a Messi dad at one point, haven't
we? Yeah, I mean, like... So his dad says you need to let him go for free. Well, I mean, what impact does that have, Abdallah?
His dad's his agent.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And so his dad's negotiated his deal. So
and
he's
what's
going,
the buyout?
Was his dad also, responsible for his tax evasion issues?
Listen, sometimes you
don't
pay
No,
things.
I don't know.
Sometimes
I
you
don't
pay things.
I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you. It's shady over there.
And by the way, I don't know if you know this, Sylvie, but the Kentucky Derby is this Saturday.
I do, yes.
Tis the Law draws the number 17 post as a 3-5 favorite.
And Tis the Law has won the Belmont, right?
Yes.
The Belmont's the only race that's gone so far.
That is correct.
And now we've got the Derby, then the Preakness?
Yes, that is correct.
And that Derby update was brought to you by Blue Moon, the official craft beer sponsor of the Kentucky Derby.
We should have Eddie on this
week. We should.
I mean, you know.
Three of the top jockeys aren't even going to the Kentucky Derby, not because they don't have mounts, but because of all of the quarantine rules.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like it's a little crazy. Hey, speaking of little
who's going to ride the horses then?
No, I said three of the top jockeys. There are other guys.
So they got a replacement one.
Joel Rosario, and I don't believe the Ortiz brothers, Irad.
I thought some horses were going to go rogue.
No, they're not going to ride them. They're not going to be without riders. They're just other people that are.
They're smart.
Manny Franco will be riding, I believe, Tis the Law. He rode him in the Belmont.
Like, don't you think they would figure it out, though?
Well, there are these guys don't want to miss their mounts for the next 14 days at their home track.
No. I know. I'm saying the horses.
Oh, the horses
don't,
without
don't you think the horses, like when it starts, don't you think that they would figure out?
Well, they
like,
could,
yeah,
Chris, maybe. But you also have to understand, you know, there's a weight disadvantage for a horse that's got a 120-pound guy on him or 110-pound jockey on him.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
So maybe they should look into that.
I will ride the horse.
Or you kill that horse. You would that horse would have a bad back when it ran around the track with you on it.
Wow, that's a weight.
Well, you're not a jockey. Wow, how much do you weigh?
We're weight shaming.
No, but the jockey weighs like 105 pounds.
Hey, I think you look good for who you are.
I weigh 100 pounds. That's how many pounds I weigh.
I think you look good.
You worry about your weight. You
I was putting you in jockey
your
terms. You're too big to ride a horse. I said a horse. When we come back, I will have the nuttiest story of the day for you. Hey, I'm here to tell you that I was busy talking to someone that was really more important than me, but now I have this read for you to tell you that this hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, do you know what time it is, right? Stop giggling back there, Black.
Who are you talking to?
The boss.
The boss knows there's a clock to follow here, right?
Well, you know, it's you're getting chirpy from out there in Riverwoods, aren't you?
It's easy, yeah. Right?
Yeah, 34 miles away. You're out there flexing.
I can't wait to get back in there, too.
You can't wait to have
it. What's going on? Yeah. What's going on in my house is just, it's really just.
So it's not that you want to be here and be with us. It's you just want to be away from your kids.
And like, you know how much I love being a dad. But the 24/7 aspect of this now, and it just the fits and the crying and the, like, waking me up this morning. They were up at the crack of dawn.
I was just texting with JD, and like, he has some of the same frustrations about the e-learning.
It's too much.
I can't imagine doing it. I said,
I love
to
our teachers.
Yes.
And I've always lofted up what teachers do. This is not a new sentiment. What our teachers do, what our educators do, what our fire department does, what our police department does, all the people doing those jobs, they don't get paid enough. And I can't, like, it's just absolutely out of control.
Adam, how's your lovely wife, Whitney, handling all the e-learning that's going on?
It's a struggle. It's a struggle, man. Yeah, it's a struggle. Yeah.
It's a fight.
It's there's been a lot of problems, but, you know.
You know what? And you know what probably goes best with all of that struggle?
Screwball story of the day.
Screwball peanut butter whiskey.
Oh, there's a lot of peanut butter whiskey being consumed at the Abdallah household.
I would think so.
Yeah.
A night with Screwball, fellas. Night with Screwball?
Yeah, it's bound to get a little bit
nutty. Oh, yeah, it is. Hey, get naked. And other advice to fend off a polar bear attack.
This is basically now just a naked segment.
Not necessarily. When there's a good naked story, you're getting it.
Okay.
But like, wait, this is the nuttiest story of the day, right?
Polar bears and nudity.
When somebody is asking for advice on how to fend off a polar bear, in your wildest dreams, would you ever have thought, well, you know what I need to do? I need to take all my clothes off.
No, that would be, you know, the scars would be even worse.
There's three pieces of advice, okay, about how you would respond to a polar bear trying to attack you if, for whatever reason, you know, you're in polar bear territory.
No sudden movement.
You're in Greenland. You're in really cold places. Canada?
Alaska?
Wherever you're at, okay? There's three. One is mace, okay? So carry some mace with you.
Mace? You're going
to
mace
the
bear?
Bear mace? Yeah. Bear mace or
bear
just mace.
Mace
in general? Because you know that there's bear mace.
Yeah.
Bear mace.
Well,
the strong stuff.
Yeah, squirrel mace.
You know who has
bear
mace? The Packers.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think they have bear mace.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
They don't need it.
Yeah. They have Aaron Rodgers.
Always carry a gun. So I got bear mace or gun.
Okay. Right.
Don't bring teeth to a gunfight.
Or get naked.
No.
There's no way you can outrun a polar bear, okay? But they are, according to word of mouth, easily distractible. Polar bears are very curious. Sarah Woodall, a tourism destination manager for Visit South Greenland, told me, the author of this article, during the first trip to the country back in 2015. To that end, if you should come face-to-face with one of those polar bears, back away slowly at first, while peeling off your clothing one item at a time. It's like you're at a club.
This is from The Onion.
The bears are very curious, so they should stop, sniff, and perhaps play with each item as they come across it, leaving you free to run somewhere across the Arctic with no clothes on, until they catch up with you, of course, or you die of exposure. Either way,
aren't you just making it? Okay, first of all, I think this was written by a polar bear, because aren't they just
aren't you just making it easier?
Well, now I don't have to eat all these dumb
clothes.
That's
what I was when I now read the article. What I said was, is you look, you're probably more at risk because now the bear doesn't have to spit out all the clothing.
Well, yeah, here are the three tips: one, get naked; two, add salt; three, add pepper.
I mean, like, that's the listen again. A night with Screwball is bound to get a little nutty. I never thought that I would read an article about how to fend off a polar bear where one of your options is to get naked.
It's been a great addition. It really has to Waddle's World.
So there you go.
Just when you thought you couldn't improve Waddle's World.
You didn't think you could get any nuttier.
Right. Then came Screwball.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Jason Benetti talking about the White Sox. Are people still, as hot as they are, undervaluing how good the White Sox are in the grand scheme of things? We'll ask Jason Benetti that question in 2 short minutes.